That's right, boys and girls, it's time for some Go 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 Race Quest by Carbon Friendly. The year is the dangerous, far away future of 1996. Humans have become the second spacefaring race to leave Earth, and the first to colonize planets beyond the stars. One such planet is Belzar, where you are right now. While some of humanity's finest men and women of science are furthering our universal conquest, you have a much more important role, for you are a racer. Not just any racer, you're the best racer ever, and incredibly handsome, and strong, and good-looking. You've won every race you've been in, and you're incredibly modest. You are the driver of the Raw Umber Eagle, and your name is... Maxwell Barrowing Dunderspeed McHandsome. Or is it? Of course, your name and title is Acting Sub-Lieutenant Dirk Martin Hardpeck Eagle. Admittedly, it's not the best name, but your parents got the comeuppance for it. And they thought they were getting funerals. There are more pressing matters, though. Today is the big race, the future Zerton Eggrid race official, much more important than the future Zerton Eggrid race unofficial, which you won regardless. That race is hours away, though, so you have some time to yourself.
Flex and pose in front of your mirror for hours on end.
You flex, but that's no mirror. It's a photograph of yourself, one of your best. That's why you've had it installed in every hotel room you slept in. God, you're good-looking. The Raw Umber Eagle would currently be in the shop, where your crack team would be optimizing the engines, refueling the inanimate carbon fuel rods, and giving the old bird a nice buffing. The Raw Umber Eagle is a top-of-its-class utility racing hopper vehicle. She's a Mark 87, the fastest of its kind. Frequently noted is its inability to turn right, but that's just testament to how fantastic a driver you are.
Those will clearly need to be replaced with one of your flexing. Looks way better, bro. Also, let's go bar cruising.
You make a mental note of it. Drinking sounds like a good time kill, but this is your first particular time at this hotel. You almost regret not paying attention on your way to your room, but regretting is for losers, and you're a winner. You agree that this time was better spent focusing on how you can win outside of the big race. Instead, you stand over here, looking at the expanse of your room.
Check out that display case. Is that a mini bar?
If there was something to drink here, you'd never leave the room. Except to race. Kind of important, that. No, this trophy cabinet contains 12 of the various trophies you've gathered throughout your career that have graciously been donated to this hotel so that anyone who might sleep in this room knows what results a winner can pull. It also intimidates any competition, or so you hope.
Go through one of the doors. Do you know which one leads out? I'm just gonna pick the one next to the trophy case. Go through that one.
You exit the room and find yourself in a hallway. Using your previously unmentioned until now powers of fisheye vision, you can render the 180 path into one mental image. There appear to be elevators at either end of the hallway, as well as three rooms on either side. Your door opens up to face the door of the room opposite of you. Funny how that works, eh? You leave the room.
Hail the short baldy man! Ask him what the news he brings from the Lollipop Guild!
You recognize this man. While you've always been number one, he's been right behind you at spot number two. He's your arch-nemesis. You hate that guy. You greet him the only way appropriate, by pelvic thrusting him in his height-appropriate face. Incidentally, you've forgotten his name. I'm sure you can concentrate hard enough to remember it.
Gary M. Oak! Titty fag balls! Lol, zero punctuation reference!
You remember calling him titty fag balls behind his back and to his face, and most of the time right above him. But Gary M. Oak seems more appropriate. His name is Small Time, like himself, because he is short.
Oh, great, it's you. Must be some terrible joke on behalf of the management. Do me a favor and leave me be. I need a drink.
His words are heavily saturated with a mix of disappointment, displeasure, and a lack of enthusiasm. What a jerk. Maybe he forgot who you are. Rather than stand around and be taunted by you, Gary leaves in the hallway. Not that that stops your efforts. Run away, short man. This is Winner's Hallway, for winners, which you are not a winner. Ha! You'd better leave now, because you'd need a head start, because your legs are short, and it'll take you longer to get places. Ha ha! He doesn't reply. He's probably too awestruck by your majesty with words. Oh man, you showed him. So, onward to the bar?
Fuck yes, I was to the bar. Go to the bar, find bitches, drink and fuck.
Yeah, follow Gary. He must know where the bar is. Choosing abusing your liver over being curious towards a door ajar, you catch up to that bastardly short man. Unfortunately for him, neither elevator has arrived yet. Even though he isn't looking, you point at yourself to indicate the winner in the immediate area, just in case he needs a reminder.
Accidentally knocks the flower pot to make it fall over Gary, that bastard.
The flower pot accidentally falls off its pedestal onto Gary's head, as if it was magnetically drawn to lose its... Ah!
You maniac! What the hell is wrong with you?
I'll tell you what's wrong with me. Winning. Oh, yeah. You gesture towards the central wind zone with your thumbs.
Your goddamn helmet is cutting off the circulation of your brain. What's the problem?
What an angry young bad man loser. What a bad young man. What an angry bad man. What a bad loser.
Ask him what it's like being... Number two, after all, you wouldn't know. Be very insistent on this point.
As quick as he can, he gets into the elevator and presses the door closing button. If only he were that fast in the races, he might do better than second place once in his life. Where to now? Your elevator has just arrived.
Pursue him. Down to the lobby. It's just to get the ajar door. Could be a hot naked chick just waiting for you.
A jar door must be investigated.
Figure out what the door is going to do. Rush down the stairs so he knows there will be him to where he's gonna yet again.
Unexpectedly, the door goes up to the next floor. It pauses, so it appears he got off at this floor. Since he can't see you and there's nobody else around, you figure there's no harm in sneaking into Gary's room. His room is similar to yours, but opposite in layout.
What's in the box, man? What's in the box? Take a dump on the bed.
Opening the box, you find books. A lot of books.
Second comes right after first. My career as a future Zetton Agrith race professional. Gary M. Oak.
There's also a picture of Gary's vehicle, Clemens Hammer. You try to take a dump but fail. You took a dump before you decided to stare at the poster for 2 hours.
Look and see what crap is on his desk.
On the desk you find, letter, personal letter, embarrassing medicine.
Read the letters. Inspect the medicine. Put everything back as he found it.
Dear Gary, I hope this letter reaches you well. I won't be able to make it to your big race. I know how important it is to you. Know that I will be watching the live telecast from this vessel. I should be there by nightfall. Wish you the best of luck with the works. I know, if you put your mind to it, you can achieve anything. Love, Margaret.
VIP.
To Gary Oak. You have been invited to the exclusive rooftop restaurant that our hotel boasts. Mingle with your fellow Futon Zetron Edward Blitter Race official competitors alongside some of your highly esteemed guests. Please enjoy your stay.
Management.
Gary Oak, laxatives. Take one pill when experiencing bouts of constipation, then wait a few minutes for effects.
Email Margaret while pretending to be Gary. Inform her that Gary is in fact gay.
Well, this is the greatest plan ever conceived. If you do not have immediate access to a computer or knowledge of Margaret's email.
Yeah, well, how long did the laxative last? If it lasts hours, well then, the last thing we want to do is ruin our shot at the race. So let's pocket a few, no matter how many, no matter what, just in case time has some great potential for prankery in it.
People who don't throw caution to the wind lose. You're not a loser, are you? You take one laxative. It tastes like a laxative. You pocket five more laxatives to your inventory. While you're waiting for the laxative to kick in, you check behind door number one. It's a jacket, two shirts, two pairs of short pants, and two pairs of shoes.
Throw them on the bed. Also, drag that box next to the bed and check inside so that you may also defecate on its contents.
You move everything around off screen. The box was empty, and it's presumably there to help short Gary to access his upper clothing items. We investigate the bathroom. All seems perfectly fine. Wait a minute. You see the worst thing you've ever seen in the universe. The toilet roll is in the inferior underhand position. Pause for animation. Uh-oh. There's no time. You can feel it. Your throne awaits. You're gonna do this, man. You're gonna... Oh, God! You shit your pants. You decide that the best course of action involves the last touching of... the least touching of shit as possible. You grab the last two pairs of pants and shuffle towards your room. But don't be fooled. Despite your best clenching, the laxative effect has not subsided yet. As you head back to your room, you notice a maid at the end of the hallway. They appear to be tending to some flower pot-related mess. Good for him or her. Clenching with all your might, you remove your underwear and pants, and, making sure the maid is not looking, throw the soiled garment down in front of the rooms down the hall from the safety of your own door.
We can try sitting in the sink and splashing handfuls of water onto our butthole desperately.
First things first, man. Scholars, monks, and the like have spent centuries searching for it, but you believe you found nirvana. Spiritual enlightenment. It feels good, man. Nothing could bring you down. Your feelings are expressed thus. The laxative's effects subside. You shower the shit away. Or at least you try to. If only this water wasn't so low flow. I'm telling you, man, there is so little pressure on this water. It's like if someone said, "Hey, water, don't worry about that report. You can add it on Monday." And the water's like, "Oh, cool. I'll just be a useless piece of shit all day and play video games." That's what it's like. You're clean, but you'll have to speak up. You're wearing a towel. You can only get dressed or try to get the wallet back now. There's only a minute between the instances. Decide!
Hug note. Read Tom.
You give the note a well-deserved hug. Come here, you. Upon reading Tom closely, you find he appears a bit nervous. He must be a big fan or something.
We better get it back as soon as possible. Get that wallet back! Get that wallet back! Get to the wallet!
All right, let's do this.
You bust out of the room like a winner. Fuck yeah. You make a careful point to leave the door wide open. You've seen more than enough sitcoms to take place in hotels before the old locked out of the hotel room naked trope. Down the hall you see your shitty pants. They're still there, despite the good half hour or so you spent shitting and showering. There's only one foreseeable obstacle between you and any link to the pants. That rather large maid who just came out of Gary's room, she notices you and grunts.
Maid life not easy. People make mess of flowers. People make mess of room. People leave sword parts in hallways. Sometimes I can't believe people. Hey, why you only wearing towel? Did you open wrong door?
You'd better think about how you're gonna get around this situation. Seducing her sounds like a nice idea. After all, you've never had sex with a maid before, but your reputation is more important. Now I'm just preparing for the race. This is how I, prepare.
I thought you looked familiar. You are on some posters around here. You want me to clean your room now?
Sure. And being the fantastic gentleman that I am, the best on this planet, nay, the universe, I will dispose of that foul mess over there.
Thank you, small man.
Only one way to dispose of it quickly enough. Eat it.
That's a really bad suggestion.
It is. Just get to the mess and take it to your room. Obtain wallet and... I don't know, do you have spare pants? Just get to the mess. Get the mess to your room for now. Hero.
Well, first, you retrieve the wallet and 5 laxatives. They're not damaged, but they do smell faintly. That'll probably go away over time. In your attempt to throw those shitty pants into Gary's room, you find the door is closed and locked. Since the maid had just finished it, you can understand. She'd probably not appreciate the mess anyway. How do you deal with these soiled pants?
Throw them out the window. Only rational explanation. Alternatively, see if there's a large enough crack under the door to fit them in. Yeah, throw them out the window.
You head down the hallway to check for windows, since your room is currently occupied with a maid. The windows are not openable, however. They're strictly for viewing. You decide. The sooner you're away from the shit pants, the better. As soon as the first elevator arrives, you press all of the buttons and ditch the undesired garments into the small, one-dimensional plane traveler passing cubicle. So long, shit pants. Now what?
Press yourself up against the earlier window and make erotic faces while screaming. Scream as loud as you fucking can. Do this until the maid finishes up with your room. Then go in and change.
This seems like the only reasonable option. Ah! It's time to get back to your room and seduce the maid, you decide. Hey, baby, anyone tell you you have beautiful, very beautiful rooms. Yeah. You do a bang-up job in this place, Toots. Yeah. She blushes. At least you think that's what she's doing.
Thank you, small man. I put away clothes in closet.
Thanks. So, when do you get off work?
My shift ends in just over 1 hour. Perhaps I will go watch Big Race.
An hour, eh? That means there's still time for drinks.
Don't worry about those pets. I'm sure cameras will find who did that. Good day and good luck at race.
Thanks. She leaves with her maid card down the hall. Wait, what? Indeed. But first a return of form. The winner is back. Back is not quite the word, since it implies he left in the first place, but you're here and you're ready to roll. Guy's pants are quite tight.
You didn't bring any spare pants.
What a ridiculous thing to assume. You put on one of your 63 spare jackets using it as a makeshift pair of pants. You make sure that all the hotels you stay at have spare jackets in case you accidentally get... in case you accidentally get shit on the one you're wearing. Fortunately, this has never happened. You enter the elevator, the one on the opposite side of the hall from where the shit pants escalator is. You know, best to stay the hell away from that one. Animation? You take the elevator to the ground floor, which is the lobby, but that isn't good enough, is it? You want to go to the basement, you're not necessarily sure it exists. Don't you? You're a winner, aren't you?
Punch through the floor of the elevator, it's the only way, to be sure.
You want to get down? Explosion. You gotta make your own way down. The smoke and dust settle.
Gee, I wonder who's gonna pay for repairs. Investigate the area. Where the heck are we? Where? What's in the crates?
Well, first, what is in these crates? Why, brochures. Hundreds and thousands of brochures for the hotel. The brochures don't tell you much, but you grab a couple anyway. Using your previously unmentioned until now powers of bird's eye vision, you render the entire room into one mental image. It would appear to be an incredibly thick door, not unlike one you'd find on a bank safe or vault. There is no obvious way to open it from this side.
Push the circle in the middle!
That's not a button at all. To overcome this door, you may have to think with your head. You know, as opposed to thinking with a... I feel nothing.
Animation! Animation!
You hear some creaking. The door comes down, and from the view of your steadfast castle, you detect this is some sort of... use crates and make a fort. From this view, your steadfast castle, you detect this is some sort of security room. Conveniently empty. They must be well. Who cares? They're not here, so yeah.
Oh, excellent. Find the footage containing you and your shitty pants and destroy it!
Well, it's so easy.
You fucking play Extreme Solitaire right now! You must win Extreme Solitaire!
You boot up Extreme Solitaire. Four of your cards are on fire.
Click smiley to return to hyper mode. Then turn on hyper mode.
That's the deck.
Boot up that icing.
That would appear to be the program running in the background.
Mess around with the OS until you stumble across video files and dates which aren't porn.
You would appear this interface was specifically designed for hotel security, with some gates to alleviate boredom. You put on the 6 and the 7, but the other cards refuse to work. They must be of different suits, though it's hard to tell. Extreme Solitaire trademark omits these suits for challenge potential, part of its charm. An additional 4 of your cards are on fire. The first 4 are burning. Soon? That's an update. Man, fuck this game. You lose. Looks like we win.
Far less than suggested.
Looks like we win, doesn't it?
Yes. You do win, because you're a winner. And that's what winners do. They win. Now, you should probably make your way out of this place before the security return. You'll want to do it as inconspicuously as possible.
Gillian, open that case of fire cabinet! Because if you are on fire, you winner, you!
That's the sort of logic you like. Inside the cabinet, you find an axe, a fire helmet, a fire extinguisher, and novelty glasses.
Store the novelty glasses in your pocket. Wear the fire helmet on top of your kick-ass racing helmet and use the fire axe to open the fire extinguisher. There's no problem with this money. You follow the wing, you're just awesome!
You don the helmet.
You could just don the novelty glasses. It's a perfect disguise, after all.
You don't don the glasses. No, you don the glasses. Looking good. Not as good as you usually do, but you know you can't improve perfection.
Take the axe, the extinguisher, and the glasses. You already have got the best helmet ever.
With axe and fire extinguisher in tow, you're ready to leave this dungeon.
So long, Force.
Hit that door in a burst of action pose.
Oh, yeah. The Axeman cometh. You want to ask me a question? Outside the room, a crowd of hotel goers and some staff appeared to have gathered, probably drawn by that whole explosion nonsense. Best think fast. You decide the easiest way out of this suggestion is to spray and run. Go, go, go! Eat it, losers! In your haste, you forget whatever it is you're doing down here.
If you can't remember it, it wasn't important. Use the extinguisher like a skateboard and ponder what kind of diet you've taken to reduce in size so considerably in the last minute.
When it's still diet, what a silly notion.
Get you some of the extinguishing agent.
You quickly consume some of the extinguishing agent to kill the burning fires of... whatever, who cares? It's minty fresh. Times like these, you're taken back to your childhood when you were unstrained of being fire. Why? Some men just want to watch the world burn. Winners want to be the fire. And carbon friendly, the lazy bastard hasn't updated the quest since then. So it's not updated, and this is the end as a result. I thank you for listening, you scum.